Scripture this morning is probably one that's familiar to you. It's just a few verses out of Mark 8, though it can be found in the other Gospels as well. It's, I think, one that you would have definitely heard if you've hung around church much. But even if not, listen to it, listen in it, and see what God might say to us through it today. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others say one of the prophets." Then he asked, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about it, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. When Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Silence! Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but of humans." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, on our way, as we face the question, who do we say that you are? May your Spirit give us strength and grace, not just to answer, but to understand. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to confess to you that this isn't the sermon I planned to preach this morning. I've been working on another sermon, but it was fighting me all week. It's just not ready yet. So I turned to the lectionary, the suggested readings for the week, found this passage, which is well known, it's familiar. It's a good, strong passage. It's a pivotal kind of passage in the gospel. Sometimes it's called the confession of Peter. Sometimes the declaration of Peter. It's probably one you've heard before. I know that I have preached it. We have preached it here. But it's one of those texts that's good to return to. It's about a moment that could be called revelatory. A revelation moment. A moment when someone understands something. When someone gets it. And it begins with a question that the book says Jesus asks on the way. And I love that phrase. When the Bible uses that, it means that it's not just a thing for church. It's not just a thing for home. It's a thing for wherever we are. They're on the way. And Jesus asks, what do people say? I know they're talking. I know there's people out there saying things about, who do people say that I am? And the disciples give him some answers. Now, this isn't ego. Jesus isn't fishing. This is not popularity. This is not, he's not a politician or a celebrity that's worried about popular opinion. He's asking a surface question so he can go underneath it. Who do they say I am? And they say good things. They say you're a prophet. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Those are all compliments. Those are all good. And then Jesus goes to the heart of it, the fundamental question, what do you say? And this is the center of it for us, right? I mean, this is the heart of it. What do you say? Not what do they say, not what does your church say, what do your parents say, what do your friends say? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? What is your choice? What's your answer? We sometimes forget in the emphasis we put on being church that while faith is practiced communally, it's professed individually. In a few moments, we'll have a baptism in which we ask each parent to answer personal faith questions. As they present a child to be baptized, we ask them again, who do you say Jesus is? And will you and the church work together to guide this child because we know that one day they will answer the question? Who do you say? It's the biggest question. And Peter, who almost never gets things right, nails it. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. That's a church word we're familiar with, so we sometimes miss it. It means the anointed one. You're the chosen one. You are the expected one, the promised one. You're the one we've waited for. You're the one we've hoped for. You're the one in those difficult times of suffering we've whispered about. You're the one we've told our children about. You're the one we've hoped and hoped and hoped would arrive. You are that one. You're Him. You're the Messiah. And that's the revelatory moment. In the gospel, nobody has said that yet. Nobody has understood that yet. Peter gives voice to a new truth, a truth that hasn't been understood yet. Maybe you've had that moment where something dawns on you. I had one Thursday night. It wasn't profound. And actually, I was a little late to the party. But Jane and I were driving to Sioux City. It was dark. We had not long ago turned off Highway 9. We were headed south on Highway 60. There had been a police car that we passed who had someone pulled over. And so I was thinking, do I need to keep track of the speed limit? Do I need to pay attention? Where's that guy at? I noticed off in the distance a car coming north. Didn't think much of it, but my brain continued to say, hey, you should look again. I thought, whoa. And at some point I was a little bugged, and as I got a little closer, it dawned on me what my brain was trying to tell me. That car going north was in the southbound highway. They were on my road. They missed the lanes on the other side that were going that way, and they were driving it like a two-lane highway. So a lot of panic, figuring it out. But that's the moment. The moment when you realize the most important thing that you need to know in that moment. And when it comes to the faith, maybe you've had that moment. Not everybody does. There are a few lucky people, I think, who grow up in the faith and they just really never doubt. They never question. They just go from here to here and it never changes. But many of us, even those who grew up in church, we did have a moment. This morning as Sunday school kicks off, we commit again to teach kids and adults about Jesus. Because we understand at some point, many of us, maybe most of us, have to make a decision. Maybe you had that. You studied, you listened, you wrestled with it. You went through why it did and didn't make sense. You struggled seeing people who profess a thing live like a different thing. Maybe all of those struggles finally give way to that point, that moment where you just said, I get it. This is true for me. I believe that. The Christian faith is a revelatory faith. And hopefully you get that moment where it isn't just religion. It isn't just church. Jesus is really Jesus. I want to say this very plainly, very carefully. Our faith is not a practical faith, a historical, scientific faith. And what I mean by that is almost no one gets to faith by logic, by reason, by argument, history, or scientific evidence. No, there comes a moment where the things the church says about Jesus Christ, these strange, wild things, are simply accepted as truth. And in that moment, we say, I want that truth to be the center of my life. I want to follow Him. I want to be that. I want Jesus to be the anchor. We stand with Peter and we say, you are the Christ. Peter got there first, but all of us get there at some point. And in the Gospel of Mark, this is always confusing, but Jesus tells them to keep it quiet. That's because in Mark, silence and secret are one of the major themes. Mark wrestles, he kind of plays that out all through the book. Jesus tells them to be quiet because they're in Mark's gospel. And Jesus begins to share with them what it means. Okay, you get it. I'm the Messiah. Now let me tell you about that. And this upsets Peter. And he takes Jesus aside. I love, this is my favorite part. It is so fun to picture Peter just kind of saying, hey, Jesus, can I talk to you a minute? He pulls him over to the side and kind of quiet so nobody else hears. He said, you know, you can't say that stuff. You're going to upset people. I don't think you know what you're saying. You're the Messiah and you're saying the wrong things. And he tries to correct Jesus. Now, 5 minutes ago, Peter said, you're the Christ. Now he says, you need to listen to me. And it's easy to dogpile on him. But we've all done it. Jesus said, love your enemy. We say, hey, Jesus, you got a minute? You know that guy? You don't mean him. You don't mean her, right? I mean, okay, enemies in general, right? But not that one. You don't mean that. Jesus says, care for the poor. Don't chase money. And we say, Jesus, capitalism, it's pretty good. You can't say that stuff. Jesus says, put others ahead of yourself. And we say, Jesus, we want to make sure you're clear here. What you mean is, you know, help people sometimes, right? Or, this one hurts, Jesus says, forgive people who hurt you. And you circle around and you say, hey, Jesus, you got a second? Forgive is good, right? But come on. You know what they did. You don't mean them. I know you didn't mean that. Peter takes Jesus to the side and whispers in his ear, the one he's just called the Christ, hey, I know I called you the Messiah, but now let me tell you what it means. It's easy to do. Professing Jesus is the essential step of faith, but it's easier than following Jesus. Saying it is easier than doing it. We still want to lead. And Jesus rebukes Peter. The word here that he says is silence. And very interesting, in the Gospel of Mark, this is the word Jesus says to the demons. Whenever Jesus tells some demon to be quiet and stop, this is the word. Mark wants to make no mistake of how important this is. The best translation is probably shut up, which seems harsh. But Jesus knows this is dangerous thinking. Literally devilish. He calls Peter Satan. The idea that Jesus can be in one moment Lord and the next moment told what it means that he is Lord is dangerous. And Jesus has harsh criticism, for sure. But remember that when he was tempted, Satan, knowing exactly who Jesus was, tried to get him to do what he wanted him to do. Tried to control him, tried to whisper to him, to tell him what it meant for him to be Jesus. And Peter tries something very similar. It's probably a stretch, but what does get behind me mean? One, get out of the way, and two, you can't follow me from ahead of me. You don't lead me, Peter. You follow. Get behind me if you're going to call me Jesus. If you're going to call me Christ. Your place is back there. I lead, you follow. This passage is a strong reminder, an uncomfortable one maybe, that when we profess Jesus is Lord, we simultaneously profess, I am not. Jesus tells me what his lordship means, not the other way around. Jesus tells me how I live as a follower. He is the authority over my life. He sets the path, and my job, our job, is to follow it. My job is to be faithful to the one I've professed as Lord. We don't get to profess him before people and then whisper directions to him later. We don't get to say, you are the Christ, but I'll tell you what it means. We follow. He leads. What we do get is to have a Messiah. What we get is to follow the one who saves us. And that, friends, is more than enough. So on your way today, wherever you are on the way, hear again the question. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do we profess him to be? And then what does it mean? Because we only learn that from him, not the other way around. Amen.